I will introduce the strings we got reactions, chapter 1. Before entering chapter 1, I will give a brief summary or preface of this book. The preface is about the situation of emotional research in cognitive science, and James Gold in his book, Emotional Research in Cognitive Science. Emotions have been neglected in cognitive science despite their obvious importance because of researchers committed to computational theory and because emotional research was done extensively by clinical psychologists. But recent advances, especially in neuroscience, have brought emotions back into center stage of research. However, there's little consensus on what emotions are. So, Prince's purpose of this book is providing a theory of emotion which reconciles a number of debates. He says that existing theories emphasize some aspects of emotions at the expense of others, or try to accommodate too many aspects. So, Prince attempt to make a theory that can be a synthesis, namely, simple, uniform account with ample explanatory power, which bridges the gap between cognitive and non-cognitive theories, between biological reductionism and social constructivism. And he says it is a Foucaultian theory, which severs off redundant parts. And the background of Prince's theory of emotion is somatic theory, which is pioneered by James Lang and resuscitated by Lamassu. This is the theory that holds emotions are perceptions of pattern changes in the body, namely gut reactions. The somatic theory has a major defect that it fails to explain the significance of emotions. Namely, it fails to explain that emotions contribute to reasoning, action, and the election of ends. And emotions are triggered by judgments amenable to cultural influence. And emotions are central to our comprehension of morality and other lofty domains. In other words, emotions are meaningful. So, a question to somatic theory is, how do their value changes play some roles in mental processes such as reasoning, judging, moral comprehension, and so on? Why emotions seem so meaningful, intelligible, and rational? Prince tries to answer such questions in this book. This is a brief summary of preface of this book. So, let's go on to chapter 1, Introduction, Peace and Passion of Heart. All needs of emotion. The problem of parts. Emotion episodes contain a number of components, for example, thoughts, bodily changes, action tendencies, modulation of mental processes, for example, attention, and conscious feelings. But which of these things is the emotion? Can any part be subtracted or are some parts essential? This is the problem of parts. Hereafter, I use the abbreviation PPA. And different theories of emotion give different answers to the problem of parts. So let's take a look at each theory in turn. The theory is appealing to feeling or body change. Feeling theory, these are theories that identify emotions with conscious feelings. For example, pop psychology is feeling theory, kind of feeling theory. We tend to privilege conscious feelings. We ordinarily regard feelings as the essence of emotions. Such a theory is called feeling theory by Dukes. And one might wonder where emotional feelings come from. One answer is that they come from the body. But at the end of the 19th century, William James and Carl Lang independently arrived at the conclusion that common sense gets things backward. Body changes precede our emotional experience. So, this is the somatic feeling theory. Theory is that it weighs emotions with feelings of body state changes. Here, the word somatic encompasses any part of the body. For example, respiratory system, the circulatory system, digestive system, or facial expression, or heart rate, and so on. This is the series pioneered by James Lind. The somatic feeling theory has enjoyed a recent revival under the neuroscientist Antonio Damasio. Damasio's somatic theory differs from James in several respects. First, he expands a range of body states to include states of internal levels of chemicals in the brain, such as hormone levels caused by the endocrine system. Second, in his theory, emotional response can occur in the absence of bodily changes when brain centers associated with bodily change are active. For example, when imagining undergoing an emotion. He called the pathways that lead to endogenous stimulation of somatic brain areas the as-if loop. When this pathway is used, the brain functions as if the body had been perturbed in an emotionally relevant way. Third, in its theory, emotions are not exhausted by conscious feelings. Unconscious neural responses to changes in bodily states count as emotions as long as the brain resists the changes in bodily states. This figure represents the idea of the somatic marker theory by James Lang. Emotionally significant change causes the perception of the object, and it causes change in bodily state, the feeling of bodily change. It's caused, it is the emotion. And this is Damasio's revival. The major difference is here, the as-if loop. The emotion can occur bypassing changes in the body states. In sum, according to the revival of somatic feeling theory by Damasio, emotions can occur with no bodily changes nor conscious feelings. If there is
an activation in somatic brain centers. Damasio's revival makes a point of brain activity associated with bodily changes. So, it can be said that it looks like a cognitive theory, which we will see later. This is the somatic feeling theory. The theory is appealing to behavior or behavioral disposition. These are views adopted by behaviorists. Behavioral theory equates emotions with behaviors to which bodily changes dispose us. For example, Ryle or Skinner claims the behavioral theory. And the behavioral conditioning theory equates emotions with behavioral response to rewards and punishments. Watson and Rawls claims such a theory. But Rawls appeals to inner states and inner processes. The theory is appealing to mental processing or cognition. Processing mode theory is the view that drops the link to behavior and gives attention to internal systems of mental processing. This is a theory that equates emotion with systematic changes in faculties of attention, memory, and reasoning. Otley and Johnson Laird claim such a theory. And cognitive theory is the theory inspired by the fact that thinking often figures prominently in emotion episodes. It contains a claim that thoughts or cognitions are essential to emotions. A pure cognitive theory claims that emotions are identical to thoughts. The earliest is Stoics, and other theorists are Bedford, Solomon, Nussbaum, and so on. Some cognitive theories argue that judgments or beliefs are not sufficient for emotions. Gordon and Warner say that desires or wishes come into play. And Armand Jones defines emotions as imagination-based thoughts, that is, a kind of construal. And Robinson and Roberts equates emotions with construal combined with a desire component. Whether these theories can be labeled as pure cognitive theories depends on how we use the word cognitive, and if we use the word narrowly, that is, only the beliefs and judgments are cognitive, whether desires are reducible to beliefs. As this brief survey shows, every obvious part of a typical emotion episode is identified as the essential part of emotion by some theory. And most of theories considered so far identify emotions with one particular component of an emotion episode. However, somatic feeling theory is different. It says emotions are both conscious experiences and responses to body changes. It is a hybrid theory. Hybrid theories are rural in history of emotion research. For example, Aristotle, Descartes, Hume, Spinoza, they are all hybrid theorists of emotions. Their theories are impure cognitive theories, which equates emotions not only cognitive something or but also feeling or somatic change or so on. Psychologists have also defended impure cognitive theories. some of these psychologists make specific assumptions about the order in which cognitive and non-cognitive components of an emotion occur. And cognitive labeling theory requires that the bodily change occur before cognitive interpretation. Under ordinary circumstances, a perceived event causes arousal, and then the arousal is interpreted as deriving from that perceived event. The state of arousal is labeled as having some emotional significance. So, here's an interesting prediction. According to this theory, it should be possible for emotions to arise through misattribution, because arousal need not result from the perception of the event that is interpreted as causing it. Arousal may have been caused by some other event. Here's a figure that represents this possibility. Event E1 occurs, and there is perception of E1, and arousal A is caused and labeled here. A results from the interpretation of the observer is A results from E1. But in fact, there is the other event E2, and the causation is real causation is A results from E2. This is the emotion arising through misattribution. In a famous experiment, Shafter and Singer attempted to support the cognitive labeling theory by showing that emotions can arise in such a way. In that experiment, subjects were injected a special vitamin, but it is adrenaline in fact. And some of them were told to expect side effects such as racing heart and heavy breathing. Others were not. Then, all subjects were placed in anger condition or euphoria condition. Subjects were asked to fill a questionnaire in which questions get progressively more offensive. And a stooge who has been placed there expresses increasing anger to that questionnaire. And in euphoria condition, subjects receive no questionnaire, and they are accompanied by a stooge who plays antics, for example, making paper airplanes, standing on a table, playing with fluff hoops. Then, in such conditions, informed subjects show little emotional response, but uninformed subjects in anger conditions show negative emotional response, and uninformed subjects in euphoria condition show positive emotional responses. Shachter and Singer's explanation of this result is emotion depends on interpretation of bodily states. In the experiment, same bodily state that is racing heart and heavy breathing labeled differently. Signs of anger or signs of euphoria or mere the drug side effects. So they conclude that same bodily state can be labeled differently. their explanation can be represented like this. Here, the result of uninformed subjects in euphoria condition is used. The spurious antics occurs. The subject perfect such event and heart racing will cause subjects labeled the heart racing as amusement. The heart racing is interpreted as resulting from the student's antics, but in fact, heart racing was caused by adrenaline injection. This is the Shutdown Singer's interpretation of the experiment. Such an interpretation and their theory will be examined in detail in Chapter 3. Shutdown Singer implies that autonomic response often precedes cognitive labeling. Other impure theories, impure cognitive theories, argue for the reverse order. According to the theory called cognitive cause theory by Prince, emotions arise when we form a thought, and that thought gives rise to emotional states, namely feeling, a body change, an action tendency, etc. Emotionally significant object is perceived, and there is appraisal judgment, and then cause emotional state. Compared to cognitive level theory, this is reverse in order of autonomic response and judgment. Cognitive cause theories have been extremely popular among psychologists, and dimensional appraisal theories are prevailing cognitive theories in psychology. These are such theories that first, appraise, to appraise is to see something as affecting oneself in some way that matters. This is McDonald's usage of the word appraise. And the theory claims that all emotions include appraisal judgments. The appraisal judgment is judgment to the effect that one is facing a predicament that matters. And appraisal judgments are drawn from a common set of appraisal dimensions. On Arnold's account, there is three dimensions involved, but his theory is criticized as too simple to offer enough detail to distinguish all emotions. To rectify the problem, some researchers have proposed new appraisal dimensions that allow us to make more fine-grained distinctions between emotions. One of the most fully elaborated appraisal theories owes to Richard Lazarus. His list of appraisal dimensions contains six dimensions. Three of them are primary, three of them are secondary. And he defines appraisals as evaluations of what one's relationship to the environment implies for one's well-being. Here is the Lazarus dimensional appraisal theory. emotionally significant object is accepted and their appraisals in six dimensions, and then emotional state occurs. In theory, primary appraisals, namely goal relevance, goal congruence, type of ego involvement, establish that something is emotionally significant. And secondary appraisals, namely blame or credit, and coping potential, and future expectancy, pertain to the resources one has available for coping. And he defines more literal appraisal as actual judgments that people make before arriving at an emotion, which is product of six appraisal dimensions. And moral appraisal is the gist of actual judgments, which captures core relational themes, a relation that pertains to well-being. And here is appraisals that generate anger, and core relational theme of anger. The goal relevance is relevant, and goal congruence is incongruent, and type of ego involvement is self-esteem, social esteem, or identity. And blame or credit is someone is to blame. Coping potential is attack is viable. Future expectancy is that goal congruence predicted to increase by attack. And the core relational theme is a demeaning offense against me and mine. Here, molecular appraisal is actual representations used in arriving at an emotional state, situated at most algorithmic level. And moral appraisals is a summary of actual judgments, which captures core relational themes, situated at most computational level. And the core relational theme is relation that pertains to well-being, which captures the basic situations that emotions are designed to discriminate. And it can be said that the reason why appraisal theories have appealed to researchers is there is a deep intuition that emotions are meaningful. Emotions inform us about our relationship to the world. Emotions embody our convictions, and emotions factor intelligibly into our decisions of life. And rather things portray the essence of each emotion, the emotion's meaning. So appraisal theories become one of the dominant forces in contemporary emotional research. But there's underlying theoretical commitments in dimensional appraisal theories, such as emotions follow on the heels of appraisals, and appraisals are cognitive states, and appraisals are part into distinct dimensions. Such a commitments are challenges in chapter 2. This is the summaries of theories of emotion. The problem of plenty. In appraisal theory, appraisals are causes of for causes of emotions, or necessary for conditions for emotions. But appraisals are not components of emotions. So what is the emotion themselves? Arnold and Arnold give hybrid answers such as Lazarus answers that somatic and cognitive and behavior. Arnold's answer is somatic and cognitive and behavior and feeling. They allege that emotions involve all of the emotion episodes components, but it is very ambitious. Frink calls such theories encompassing theories, namely, encompassing theory is a hybrid theory which holds that emotions involve all of the emotion episode components. But why there is such theories? Because emotion episodes are complex. But for such a theories, the problem of plenty arises. What is an essential function of emotions in virtue of which they may have several essential components? All hybrid theories have to give an answer to the problem of plenty. And there are three kinds of hybrids. Multifunctional hybrids hold that emotions are single kind of state which correspond to two or more different items. For example, somatic pain theory and Aristotle's theory is multifunctional hybrids. Multi-component hybrids hold that emotions are structured entities built of several different kinds of states. Schacht and Singer theory is a multi-component hybrids. And precondition hybrids hold that emotions are subset of some components and other components are necessary precondition. Lazarus and Arnold's dimensional operator theory is precondition hybrids. Then, which of these theories offer the most elegant solution to a problem of plenty? Prince says, the multifunctional hybrids doing a best job. Because multifunctional hybrids hold that parts are not really separable. They are different aspects of coherent, self-same states. So let's take a look at the relation of two problems, problem of part and problem of plenty. The problem of parts identifies one particular component which is key to coherence, and the problem of plenty is this is the problem asking how emotional components hang together, and it is perhaps due to the key component. So it can be said that the two problems are deeply linked. In the chapters followed, a positive theory of emotions will be proposed by Prince to 10 questions. And here, the answers of these 10 questions is given briefly. 1. Do emotions necessarily involve cognitions? No, emotions are not cognitive. What do emotions represent? Emotions represent qua relational things. Are emotions a natural kind? Yes, they form a coherent class. Are certain emotions universal and biologically based? Can emotions be culturally determined? Emotions have both nature and nurture dimensions. And how are emotions related to other affective constructs? moods are a special subset of emotions, and motivations are a separate class of mental states. But emotions do have a motivating component. What distinguishes positive and negative emotions? These are not distinguished by their conscious feelings, but by their valence. What is the basis of emotional consciousness? The answer isn't made clear yet here, but the question is answered in chapter 9. Is emotions a form of perception? Yes, emotions are not merely perception of the body, but also perceptions of our relations to the world. Finally, do emotions have many component parts? No, they are simple entities with complex effects and information processing roles. They can do plenty without a plurality of parts. These 10 questions are answered in detail through the rest of the book. Finally, let's review the main points of this chapter briefly. Two problems of theories of emotion. Emotions contain several components. So, which of these is the emotion? This is a problem of parts. But emotions are complex. So, researchers claim hybrid theories. But then, how emotional components hang together? This is a problem of plenty. So, the question is, how should we make a theory of emotion that can describe it as a complex but coherent state? And Flint's answer that we should describe it as a multifunctional state. An argument which appeals to significance, namely meaningfulness of emotion, is used to promote cognitive theory. So, Prince has to answer it with his somatic theory. This is the summary of preface and chapter 1 of the book. That's all. Thank you for your listening and help. The picture is Microsoft offered my Microsoft free illustration which tagged as emotions. So these are all expresses some emotions.